post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome back. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking local football. Fitzham Haptamarian is still with us, and also joining us in the studio, Peter Fennell. Peter, Fireside with Fennell is becoming a bit of a favourite with a different interview each week. It's looking good. Who have you got for us this week?
Ian Shaw, Technical Director of Capital Football.
Okay, well, we look forward to that. Ian Shaw coming up in a few moments. But first of all, we've got a bit of news, Pete.
A little bit. Probably too much for us to get through, but we'll try and do it some justice. Go to the Capital Football website. There's some good information being posted up there, and I know this stuff doesn't get down to club level easily. The high performance Canberra football, Capital Football high performance program trials, there's information up on those. You can read that for yourself, but please take note, and there's a lot of supporting information to that that tells you how they propose to run this high performance program in 2009-10, and you'll see there's some significant changes.
Another bit of news, Pete, I'll just throw some news. Ned Zelic is to turn out for Canberra FC. He's going to play five games for Canberra FC in August, so keep your ears posted there. And Stephen Lustiger, a former Canberra FC, came on for a few minutes against Fulham the other night, so another young Canberran on the rise.
Ah, very good. As if Canberra FC need more good players.
We always need more good players.
Gee, couldn't they spread it around? Now, I want to draw to your attention the under 15 and under 17 girls national youth championships being conducted up at Coffs Harbour. The two ACT girls teams are doing terrifically well as of day three. The under 15 girls have been winning. They've played 2-1-2, and the under 17 girls, they had a bye today, but they've played 1-1-1, and they've been knocking over some tall poppies. Things are looking good.
They are. I think the under-15s beat Queensland and Victoria. No shame there. Tomorrow night, Luke Pilkington is in the final of Fox 8 on Fox Channel 8, football superstar. Does he win the contract? The decision all will be revealed. Apparently, Luke and the ANU boys are going down to All Bar None in O'Connor, or it used to be known as All Bar Carney, and they're going to find out whether he won. We've already revealed it weeks ago, but we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, the best kept secret in Canberra. Eh?
Well, I guess he's not going down to watch himself lose with his mates.
Yeah, mind you, he will have to explain how he got sent off.
Oh, yeah, he will. Yeah.
Okay. Look, as you know, the Kanga Cup is on. It's in full flight. Games being played everywhere. Some terrific football across all the ages at the moment. It's running like, it seems to me, just as a person following one team around, it seems to be going like a well-oiled machine. And they've spread the games around in a geographically more sensible way, I think, this year. And the ovals aren't getting beaten to death as they did last year. But look, after that, we go back into the Premier League games this weekend coming. And on the Sunday the 26th, the Women's Premier League continues, or resumes, I beg your pardon. The as for the men's, watch the Canberra FC ANU FC game. Could be interesting.
And on that note, Adam Spalletta and Dom Giampaolo, both Canberra FC players, had impressive games apparently on the weekend, and the Mariners are going to take a look at them when they saw them on the weekend, so maybe they'll take them up as youth players, I don't know. And the Canberra A-League decision is imminent, so we'll have to. It's supposed to be out in July, maybe out in the first week in August. Now, before we hear from Shorey, Pete, we've got Fitzham here, who's been out a little bit of a coaching around Kanga Cup. So we'll just, I guess, we'll get his perceptions on the Kanga Cup.
Well, look, could I just start? What formation are you using, Fitzham, in your under 15 boys? You've got a bit of a red hot team there. So,
well, we've continued from the way we do it. The way we've done it through the season, we've got generally a 3-1-3-2 type of formation, which kind of works well with what the FFA is saying is about 4-3-3. We've got three good defenders.
How does that work in with 4-3-3?
All in how you do the sums, Eamon.
You're just changing the numbers.
We've got four. The way it's changed with us is that we've got three solid defenders. So we put one in front of them, which will be defensive midfielder.
There's your four.
Yeah, there's a four there. And then we've got three in front of them. We've got two and a one. So I think... And that's been working well.
This is new maths.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. We'll just make it up as we go along. Yeah.
You played today. How'd you go today?
We went well. It was a very tough contest. We played a South East Queensland team.
Yeah, that would have been a good match.
It was a good game. The boys from Queensland are pretty... they don't take any prisoners. It was a pretty hard game. We came out of it with a 3-1 win. But I think... it's good to come out of a tough game like that with... we tried to play our normal game. For most of the game, we tried. But a lot of parts of the game were more a kick and chase because of just the way the other team were playing, I guess.
Any boys, Fitzham, who are standing out for you so far? Can you give us a few names?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say well done to my boys. they've done well in the last couple of days. From what I've seen,
any boys in your team who
Definitely a couple of players that will end up places. I don't want to name names, but there definitely are a couple of players there. And I think as a whole, we've got a great bunch of boys. We've got a couple of quick boys. We've got a couple of nice. Position type of players, ball players, got nice, tough, strong defenders at the back. So I like to say a complete team, yeah.
It is a bit hard to play that possession game we were talking about a little earlier on. When you meet an opposition that's prepared to club you and lump it long, as they say, how do you get over that?
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of the times we still want to make sure that we're there to do what we can, or we can control what we can, and we can't really control what the other team does. I mean, the only way we can avoid having to chase the ball so far behind us is making sure we're putting enough pressure up at the back end to make sure they don't just clear it. We'll force them to do something else.
Yeah, you've got to start defending a bit higher, haven't you?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. We do try that every now and then, but if you might just want to make sure that you don't get caught at the back either, because some of these boys were kicking at 50, 60 metres on the fly.
Oh, gee. And probably had the wind assistance at least half of the game. Yeah, I watched the under-12s, the play today, and the team that I was watching my son's in, the coach has been into this possession stuff all pretty hard, and they've been coping with it reasonably well under modified rules. And of course they've transitioned out now into this full first. It's a bit of a challenge. Sort of every now and again for both sides there's a bit of a pause in the game as they at one end of the field look at the far end and wonder how far away the other goals are. But when one team is a little bit less capable than the other, possession goes out the window and they get white line fever.
You're right. I think that's the problem with us, is that if you end up playing that team that plays a similar type of game and they play the ball well and they move it around, you tend to raise your level. But when it happens that you're playing a team that's just slogging it, then you kind of get pushed into playing a similar game. Yeah. So it's just reminding the boys to get back into what they do best.
Yeah. It's good to play against teams, though, isn't it, that they're not in your Canberra scene. You don't see them. You don't know about them. They're totally unknown. You don't bump into them at any time.
Yeah, that's true, because just before the game started today, we had four or five boys very, very, very nervous and not wanting to start the game. Obviously, they got told that these boys are tough and they're going to be physical. So even though they know how to get the way around, because we've played a couple of tough games throughout the season this year, especially against Cooma and Woden. It just takes that couple of minutes when you get onto the field and take a first touch. So it's all right to be nervous. It's all right to be at that age a bit scared. But I think it's just getting them refocused on what they can do is the best way to get them going, I guess.
It's a good age you've got, the under-15s. They're sort of on the cusp of the under-16, the Premier League beckons for the better players.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt all of these players will be playing 16 premiers next year.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
OK, well, we wish you well the rest of the week. Fits them in with your team, 2 from 2, that's not bad. And Pete, to your son as well, hope he has a good rest of the week.
We're hoping the weather holds, eh, Fitz?
Well, that's, yeah.
Today was a little bit better, yeah.
Now we're going to hear from Pete caught up with the technical director of Capital Football, Ian Shaw, and this is what Pete and Ian had a bit of a chat about.
Occurred. We are, of course, that is Australian football is now within the Asian Confederation. We have a new national curriculum for football, which Ian, his colleagues and every other state federation has got to absorb and make some sense of and put into effect. And we have, of course, an under 13 boys national competition, which is generally held in the first quarter of each year. The ACT enters a team in this new national competition. So we have a new Australian representative opportunity for under 13 boys. The Australian under 13 boys team. Inaugural team was selected this year and campaigned in Malaysia about a month ago. Capital Football's been doing some careful planning and thinking about how they present at the under 13 boys nationals, and that's what we're here to talk about. G'day, Ian.
Good morning, Peter.
What are the advantages of touring a young representative team and campaigning in South Korea or any other Asian competition of similar standard?
Pete, I don't think there's any new advantages to taking a team on tour. As we can see through the ACTAS program over the last couple of years, they've managed to take teams on tours, and I think all their players have come back better players for it. This is exactly the sort of situation we want for our young players, is to gather experience overseas, to maybe have a look at opposition players and then maybe set a standard for where they want to be in future years coming into the representative program. So I think an invaluable experience for teams going overseas and individually for players getting better.
So your national curriculum pulls us down more carefully into the under 13 age group, doesn't it?
The curriculum really is 9 to 12. This is our development pathway for young players, and then of course it goes into representative football from 13s through to 15s and then to national teams, 17s upwards. Just think the new curriculum is based on the fact that we need to get the information to players younger, and then of course once players get to 13 into their growth spurt, they have the base information already, and that won't be a detriment to them when they're going through a growth spurt and can no longer have the coordination.
How did you find the under 13 boys nationals this year?
Look, I think it was fantastic. We're outgunned in a lot of areas on the park. We were one of the only states to still have played small-sided football at the under 12s age group, and I think that had an effect on the team. But overall, I was quite impressed with our under 13s in the fact that they never gave up. There was some great attitude in there, and I've seen some of the players now later on in the year, and they're all better players for it.
Hard to believe that any lad that didn't campaign there on reflection wouldn't have come out of that a smarter, brighter footballer.
Oh no, well, self-evaluation has got to be a part of any athlete's tool, and I think probably the players have done that. Like the young players I see now running around either at club or with academy are better players for that experience at the nationals.
And that brings us nicely back to the South Korean tour. It's not just an investment in the under 13s nationals next year, it's a real dividend and investment in football in the ACT.
Oh, I think you're probably right there, Peter. I think giving any opportunity for kids to tour, you know, we've gone down to a young age group here, 11v11 football. I think getting over to Korea and playing against the likes of some English teams and mostly Asian teams as well will be fantastic experience for them, and just the benefits they'll gather from that tour, you know, won't be noticeable straight away, but in probably 12 months down the track, I think they'll be far better for it. So next year's nationals should be a stronger team.
Excellent. That brings us to the dates of the tour, Ian. What are they?
Peter, the youth tournament, which is based in Muju, South Korea, the tournament will take place from the 2nd to the 6th of November. Players, officials will be leaving here on the 29th of October and arrive back here on the 7th of November. We've got 5 games in the tournament, so that'll be quite good, and televised semi-finals and final on ESPN.
Televised, no less.
Yes, so it's all very exciting for the young players, so we hope we acquit ourselves very well.
Well, that's outstanding. Now, I can't help but note with those dates, that's in school term?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the original dates were during school holidays. Because of the television rights, they had to delay the tournament, and now we're looking through school term. This has been a factor with some people's availability, but of course, if you ask any of the kids, they won't mind taking 4 days off school.
Oh, I don't think they'll worry about that too much. You know, as it's in the fourth term, I think that's probably a better timing than terms 1-3. Now let's move along to something else. What is your assessment of the standard of our current under 12 boys in the ACD playing, let's say in the red division?
Yeah, I've spent the last couple of weeks having a look through the division there, Peter. And
I've seen you around the grounds.
Yeah, some quite good talent there. And Gungahlin, which is a big growth club, and same as Woden, they have some very talented players. But just having looked through, the clubs are doing a great job at that level.
How have you found the standard of the under 12 boys that have made it through to your Capital Football Academy? How have they progressed?
You know, you've only got to see them when they start to where they are now to notice that every player has progressed. I get really great comments when I see people out at the parks and they can pick out the academy players that are out there on the park just by their style of play and how they acquit themselves. So they've all developed.
Do you think we get all the prospective footballers into the academy?
Peter, I think it's like most walks of life, you won't always get every person you're after. There's still, you know, a section of choice there between parents and kids, whether they want to be involved, whether they want to follow that pathway of just friendship and playing games for enjoyment. I think there's all of that, but having said that, I think with new development program, we would probably get, you know, a good 90 to 100% of all athletes suited into our program next year.
Yes, and of course you are heading into big changes with the new national curriculum. What you're saying to me as an observer on the sidelines is that you're responding to perhaps to the fact that this is a real growth period for kids, and you're trying to scan across the football talent and make sure you see all the ones that have come along in what is almost nearly a full season.
Well, Peter, I don't think we can afford just to look at players that can financially meet the requirements of the academy.
I
think as we are the governing body for football in Canberra, we need to be giving opportunities to every athlete that plays within our divisions.
And that'll give a lot of comfort to parents. It should do.
Well, I think it should do. Look, we've always had an open, transparent trial process, of course, but like you mentioned before, there is some thinking out there in the public that if you're not in the academy, you won't be selected. So I'd like to get rid of that thinking and really put it up for grabs that if you have any ability and if you think you're good enough, you're welcome.
So you're opening up the 2009 South Korean Tour to all under 12 boys in the ACT.
Anyone born 1997 or 1998, there's even some probably under 11 boys that might be suited for this as well. So it's really about talent identification and also giving these boys the best grounding and heads up in being able to play full-sided football for the under 13 tournament.
Well, actually, that raises an interesting point because we have under 12 girls playing at under 12 boys. Have you contemplated allowing the under 12 girls to trial? The ones playing across the line?
Yes. I put a phone call into the tournament organiser last week just asking to confirm this this query we'd had on having the under 12 girls play in this competition as well. My query to the tournament organiser was that at the same age group and the same technical ability, why should we not have some talented female players within this squad? So I'm yet to hear back from them, but if that's the case, I would be able to open that up to at least three or four talented female players that I've seen already in the last month.
This is good thinking. The message is loud and clear for the 2009 South Korean Tour for the under 12 boys in the ACT. If you want a trial. Where you've been and what you've been doing is not going to matter. That you're obviously going to take the best you can get.
Well, this is right. We need to take the best players to probably show them that we're interested in their development, and also maybe this might be that little catalyst that keeps players in the game and motivates them to go to a higher level.
What size squad are you looking for to take to South Korea?
Look, we're allowed to take 18 players. I'll be looking at two or three goalkeepers, the rest being field players, playing a lot of football, five or six games or seven games if we make the final. So there's a lot of football over a short period of time. So we'll need a large squad.
Parents can accompany?
Yes, parents are quite welcome to come on tour. There's been provision made in accommodation and such, so if parents would like to contact me or just send an email to Capital Football, then I can get the details out to them.
What have been your first thoughts on the coaching and support staff you might take with you?
Well, it's going to be a mentoring role this tour. There'll be a female coach with us, and there'll also be a coach selected to coach the under 13 next year at the Nationals. He'll come with me as well.
Oh, excellent. Right. Well, that's excellent preparation, isn't it?
It is, and it gets across parts of the new curriculum to the new coaches, how we want to coach, how we want to play our formations and our best development formation suited.
Well, that's good thinking. How will you actually select this squad?
What I've done over the last month, I've actually put together a list of names that I've seen, but the selection for the squad will all be open trial. Okay, so it is available to any person born 97-98. Trials will be down at Canberra 3 off Kett Street at Canberra, and the next trial date will be the 19th of July.
19th of July?
Yes.
What time, mate?
10 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday morning. down at Canberra.
And how did your first trial go?
It was great, but considering we had the Woden pre-Kanga Cup tournament on, I thought we would only get 5 players at the trial. We ended up getting 15, which was very encouraging. And after that, I went out to the Woden trials to see the young under-12s go around there in full-sided football.
Didn't they enjoy the big field?
Oh, it was good, and some of the teams had adjusted quite well. Others, it was a bit of a transition moment for them, but I think with next year, with the curriculum, the under-12s will go to full-sided football, so I think these tournaments at this age group are great.
Who will be the selector?
Probably myself and the two other coaches, two other staff coaches going there, but I know what I want to look for, and at least as to give an indication of what sort of players we're searching out to be in the ACT under-13s in 2010.
How soon will parents be and players be notified after that last trial?
Oh, virtually within days after the last trial, because we have to get this team up to speed and ready to go to Korea. So I would think the trials will be all done and dusted in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Mm. The team will be selected and then can go forward in coaching the team to play football.
Yes, it's obviously an administrative tail and a coaching training tail to follow this that you've got to get in somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is right. And, you know, once all of that's organised, I think we're pretty well right.
Ian, as in all trials, someone gets selected and someone doesn't. What advice could you give parents, perhaps whose ambitions for their child may, just at this moment, outstrip the child's footballing abilities?
That's a pretty good question, because I think as parents we're all in that boat. We definitely want our best for our kids, and having said that, I think we probably need to take a leaf out of the book of our mums and dads when they said you had disappointment. We'll get up and try again. Don't ponder over the fact that you've missed selection. We want you to go outside, kick the ball against the wall and try again. I mean, that's what part of making good Australians. You know, we don't give up. Having said that, that not everyone can be selected. And when we have our selection trials, it's really a snapshot of the player's development at that 1 or 2 days. 8 months down the track, 3 players that did not get selected might be the best players. So I want parents to take that on board and know that a selection is just a snapshot of a player's development, and next year he could be twice the player he is now.
Look, that's probably the best bit of advice I've heard in a long time. Well, we all face this with our children. We want the best. Love and desire drives our decision-making. I'm reminded of a quote by George Hoitker in his book, How to Succeed Without Really Winning. He says something like this: remember that if you have a son in a team, you will lose a certain amount of objectivity and perspective when coming to terms with success or lack of it. How's that sound to you?
Well, I think that's probably on the money, you know, and as parents, we probably understand what he's saying there. We do lose a little bit of objectivity, but that's where I want parents to be a little bit stronger. I want them to understand that in youth development, looking forward to their play of tomorrow is far more important than their play of today. Mm. Okay, there's a quote from Ivica Osim, ex-national coach of Japan, and I think that's probably the most important one that I can relate to, is that their play of today is not as important as their play of tomorrow. So, you know, breaking it down is, you know, kids will make mistakes, but they'll be better players down the track if you support them. And this is what I want from parents. I've often said that sometimes that drive home in the car can be most damaging when parents are talking to little Johnny saying, look, you're better than Peter and this and that. You know, he doesn't need to know that. He needs to know that, gee, if I try harder, I'm going to get the results. And this is what we want to tell to all our children, I think. The key at youth development is coach accordingly to the age group. Don't try and turn under-12s into senior footballers. Yeah, they need to be coached accordingly, and this is the biggest issue we have in Australia.
Couldn't agree.
The new curriculum will address that. The new website of the curriculum will actually show that appropriate training for appropriate ages.
And, of course, that other thing, which is so valuable when kids go in company and have a common purpose on a tour, we're building citizens.
Well, you know, they're little Australians, mate. This is what we've got to remember. I mean, we talk about the impact teachers have on our kids at school, then, you know, if we're doing a high-performance program, we have an impact of 8 hours per week on these kids.
Yeah,
and it has to be positive. You know, we have to be role models for them. We have to let them know what right or wrong is and keep them in line, because, like you said, Peter, we're developing little Australians.
Well, that brings us on to the next thing. This South Korean tour follows a heavy touring schedule, a prospective touring schedule for players at this age group, and perhaps cost undertakings by parents. For instance, the PSSA tournament in Adelaide and the Academy's own under 11 and 12 teams are heading off to Brisbane. Now, there's only a certain amount of time and only a certain amount of disposable income in families. What is the likely impact of these various commitments? Can you see your way through that in these early days?
Peter, look, the Korea tour was dropped in our lap. We hadn't factored this tour being around. We always wanted the boys and girls to go to Queensland for the Gold Cup. And of course, the PSSA tournament is an annual event, so that is always on. Career tournament has just come in, and we thought it was such a good experience maybe for these kids that we couldn't knock it back.
I would have thought that was unarguable.
Well, it is, but like you said, the climate at this moment with schools and the Gold Cup tournament, financially it's challenging for some people. Always be aware that sometimes these tours are generated financially with kids that are able to participate because of financial...
Well, they have means that others don't have.
Exactly right. Now, of course, that is not the way we want to pick our rep teams.
No,
indeed. No, everyone has the opportunity and our reps are played at home here. But for those people that are lucky enough to be able to afford this tour and have the talent to be on it, I just think it's going to be a tremendous experience for them.
I think that's absolutely right. If we had a bit of advice for a parent who has one or all of these options available for their child and is wondering where they might put their effort, can Capital Football indicate where its preference might be vis-a-vis the under-13s?
Yes. Look, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think Capital Football's in a position to say, look, we'd prefer you to do this or that. Now, the one thing we have to remember is these kids are playing footy.
Yep.
So that is probably the most important fact that we're missing is that, yes, they are running around, they are playing football, they are getting some of their skill development. So whether it's at a tournament in Korea, Queensland or the ACT, I don't think there's any extra benefits. Touring, yes, there are some extra benefits to touring. It's just going to make you a better person in that cultural exchange. But playing tournaments, I think the one result comes out of playing tournaments. It's more hours of football, it's doing what you enjoy and it's making you better.
Absolutely. And it develops the maturity and understanding of the boys, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is with team football is you're making a commitment to the others in your team. It's not a single sport. It's going, oh, I've got to go there because my teammates depend on me. Yeah. So I think they're great messages.
If we could just drill to the South Korean tour, what do you think the likely cost per player is?
Look, the cost has been confirmed now at $3,350 per player. That includes transfers, airfares, accommodation, meals, etc. It's quite a good price. It does sound expensive, I understand that, but I think it's quite reasonable in contrast to other tours.
$3,350 is a pretty good figure to travel overseas, campaign in a number of games and be away for a lot more than a week.
Yeah, this is right, and I just think when you tour outside of Australia you get the extra benefits.
Oh, you certainly do. So there we have it, an under-12 boys team to South Korea from Capital Football, ACT team. It'll be campaigning hard in South Korea in a very competitive competition. Lots of advantages for sending your child there and encourage parents to watch the Capital Football website for information or ring Ian Shaw here at Capital Football for any detail. And if you've a mind to let your child trial, then do so. The best will go. What happened before doesn't matter. The best will go. Ian, any other thoughts?
Yeah, Peter, look, I'd just like to make a comment on the coaches at this level out there at clubs. From what I've seen in the last month, these coaches are doing a fantastic job. Clubs are really taking on board probably the more technical development of players rather than just running them around the park and having a game. From what I can see, there's a lot of coaches out there trying to give all these players the information they need to become better players. So I'd like to say a big thank you to some of the coaches out there and to all the clubs that are actually being proactive in bringing on some parts of the curriculum already and also just developing good football habits within their club. You know, the beauty of youth development is watching the players play tomorrow. You know, it's watching them develop into players they can be. And one thing about coaching is that this younger level is that we're also moving players onto the next level of coaching. So for coaches to stay with teams for 5 or 6 years, I don't think's right. I think the coach needs to know where his role is and then move players onto the next level of coaching.
It's a bit like being a parent, mate. You've got to know when to hand off to someone else.
Yeah, yes, that's a good analogy. And the thing is with football, we tend to cling to some of the best players, but we need to know that, you know, they will also get some benefits from different coaching. So I'd like all the coaches to understand the new program that we're bringing in at Capital Football will involve that, would involve coaches coaching at one age group and then passing them on to the next coach. And I think that's what we need to have in our expertise.
Well, I hope you have a very successful tour in South Korea. I think it'll be a fantastic experience for those that go. Gee, do you need someone to carry your bag?
I've had a few offers already, Peter. And look, whatever team we take over there, obviously is a team for experience. But of course, that might not be the team that will be selected for ACT in the under-13s, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a whole new trial process comes up again after we get back from Korea, so we can pick our team to train through till next March.
And that's a very good point to end on. Ben, many thanks.
Thank you, Peter, for your time, and you're doing a great job on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks to Fireside with Fennell, and special thanks to Ian Shaw for his time and his thoughts on many of the changes, the Korean trip and the upcoming academies, or the changes to the academies. Pete, we've only got a minute or so left, but I'll just get your thoughts on some of the things that Shorey said there.
Yes, look, it's very obvious to me that in talking to him that Capital Football are internalising a lot of new change. The new curriculum's imposed a radical change on the landscape in terms of the development of the talented player. The thing that interests me about the material that's now issued on the high performance program, and as Ian himself explained to me, that there is a dividend of the clubs. They're not, Capital Football is not going to be in the business of being a club anymore, which should make a lot of people happy. They will develop the players but return them to clubs to play in season. Now, that's a real positive. They'll, of course, pick representative teams and they'll do it on the basis of trials and so on, and that's good.
I mean, it's always been, a difficult balancing act between that, you know, whether you're a club or whether you're an academy or whether you're an association and how you handle the boys. But so you think this is a real positive change for the future of our footballers?
Oh, look, I do. I think you've got to know where your core business is. And it's clear now under this national curriculum, in terms of the talent and community-based development, you've got to be in the business of developing. By the same token, you've got to return a dividend to clubs. If the only thing the peak body did was harvest clubs for their best players, that doesn't help the standard of football.
And what about the cost? I know the FFA have talked about the cost. They've obviously come down significantly, but there's still quite a cost associated with this.
Yes, I confess that whilst I applaud all the efforts they make, and I know that they're going to have hell of a job getting as many coaches as they need, it worries me that $750 price tag on players, I think up to about 17, thereabouts, is still a significant impost on families' disposable income these days. I wonder whether perhaps we can't give more relief to that.
Yeah, I guess perhaps with sponsorship, maybe in time it will head that way. But maybe at the moment, if you're doing all the age groups that they're doing, and they're paying the coaches, of course, so you know, there are some. It's a difficult one, probably, for a small, relatively small organisation.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's not a technical director's problem. That's a CEO and board problem. They've got to get in and crack that.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, thanks very much, Pete, for ending the show on a strong note, and we'll catch you again next week. And if you're going to the Kanga Cup, if you're heading out there, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the near post.
I'm definitely getting there first, Damon.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.